Today on Special Moments in Orthodoxy, Father Spiro Bobotis of St. Demetrius Greek Orthodox Church in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, speaks to us about St. Basil.
In studying the saints, which I encourage everyone to do, it's amazing the information that you find out. Today I want to talk about St. Basil, who was born in 330 in Caesarea in Cappadocia. And in the Cappadocia area, we're going to find out that it has been well noted that we have the Cappadocian fathers that came from there. And we'll discuss that a little bit later. But I wanted to talk about St. Basil and his family, first of all. We here, as a family, we think about many things. We, Father Chris and I, think of many things as well, but one of them is the education of our family. Not our immediate family, which is, of course, important, but our family, our church family. And our hope is that you also think about the education and the well-being of your family. But it isn't just the education in the secular world. You see, Basil was born in a wealthy family. And when we think about wealth many times, we think about being privileged and being able to get everything that we want when we want it. But one of those things with privilege comes a higher education, to the better schools. And subsequently, when we are young, we start working to go to the bigger and better schools, the Ivy League schools. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. Basil himself wanted to learn, and in his quest, he traveled to Constantinople and to Athens. And if we know anything about those early centuries, if you wanted to learn, you went to the major cities, but Athens was the place to learn. And as he went, something started to grow within him. But it wasn't only because of the knowledge that he was learning for himself, but it was the family that he came from that began to push him. His mother was St. Emilia. His grandmother was St. Macrina. His sister was St. Theosevia. His brother, St. Gregory of Nyssa, and his other brother, Peter of Sebaste. Now, you heard me correctly, but when Basil knew these individuals, his brothers and sisters, they were not saints. We live in a culture that we want the education and maybe salvation. We live in a culture that it's more important to go to the Ivy League schools than to learn about salvation. During this Christmas season, I'm sure many of you have seen in one form or another a Christmas carol with Scrooge accumulating everything he possibly could and showing no goodwill to his brothers and sisters. Educated man? Most likely. Rich man? Absolutely. A man heading for salvation? Absolutely not. St. Basil's family moved to Pontus, but then he went back to live in Cappadocia with his family, and again, as I said, went to Athens, where he had the future Emperor Julian as a fellow student and Gregory the theologian as a fellow student. Here's a man of wealth, but the true wealth is the people that he surrounds himself with. How many of you have heard your parents say, "Let me see your friends and I'll show you what kind of person you are"? Well, here's a man who has really embedded himself in some good company. And it was in Athens, as he was learning and growing, that he seriously became interested in his religion. And he sought out a famous hermit to learn how to attain enthusiastic piety. I love that word, enthusiastic piety. We walk into church, have to be quiet for 15 minutes, but let's do it enthusiastically. He also went to learn how to keep his body under submission by asceticism. And those are the things that Father Chris was mentioning. Now, we live in the world, and to keep our body in submission is very difficult because as we go down the highway, there's a billboard. The kind of billboard when 20 years ago, if I was in the car with my mother, I would have been embarrassed to just go by the billboard. But today, we have become desensitized to those things. But to keep our body under submission is we are capable of that even in this life, even in the world. And we will go through that as we go at the ladder of divine ascent. But Basil wanted to learn this even greater. With his studies and his growth and his talent, he began to get involved in the heresy of Arianism. And in doing this, the church gathered around him because of his eloquence in speaking. He sided with those against Arian, and he drew nearer to St. Athanasius the Great. As he was doing that, he was ordained a presbyter at the Church of Caesarea in 365, and was ordained probably because of the great talent that he had to be able to go and attack and defend Arian and defend the faith of Orthodoxy. In doing such, he found the ear of the Emperor Valens. In 370, Eusebius died as Bishop of Caesarea, and Basil succeeded him. And the ear of Valens became greater and greater. Now, Basil was hot-blooded and somewhat imperious, but he also was generous and sympathetic. So you had an educated man with flame and fire fighting for the faith, but a good man. And his zeal for Orthodoxy went straightforward. Now, again, the Emperor Valens was upset with him, and he said that he would put him to death. But that didn't bother St. Basil too much. St. Basil said, "If you take away my possessions, you will not enrich yourself, nor will you make me a pauper. You have no need of my old worn-out clothing, nor of my few books, of which the entirety of my wealth is comprised. Exile means nothing to me, since I am bound to no particular place. This place in which I now dwell is not mine." Let's pay attention to that. The place that I dwell is not mine. And any place you send me shall be, nor shall any place you send me shall be mine. Better to say every place is God's. Where would I be neither a stranger and sojourner? You can torture me. I am so weak that the very first blow will render me insensible. Death would be a kindness to me, for it will bring me all the sooner to God, for whom I live and labor, and to whom I hasten. Here's a man who's threatened, and all he can say is, "Do what you will, because my true faith and my true understanding of where I am is in the arms of God." Okay. How many of us would ever even think or consider that if we were threatened? How many of us, if we lose our homes, have to sit there and think, "But now what will happen?" and worry? And I truly understand that we would. But St. Basil, his love for God was so great that that didn't bother him. And the threat of death only brought him nearer to God. Now, Valens, hearing this, said, "I've never heard anything like this before. No one has ever spoken to me so audaciously." And Basil said to him, "Perhaps you have never spoken to a bishop." Not that he was bragging about it, but this is the true person of who he was. And a bishop, in the eyes of Basil, was the person who understood that everything that he has is God's, that he is God's creature, God created him, and that the love of God will take care of him. "In all else we are meek, the most humble of all," he said about bishops. "But when it concerns God and people rising against him, then we, counting everything else as naught, look to him alone. Then fire, sword, wild beasts, and iron rods that rend the body serve to help him." St. Basil was untouched by Valens. They said that he was going to be excommunicated by Valens, and every time Valens tried to write with his pen, something happened to the pen. Once, twice, three times. And then Valens just said, "Ah, forget it," and left him alone. But St. Basil continued his fight, and he continued to celebrate church services almost every day. He was concerned about the strict fulfillment of the canons of the church. He appreciated celibacy, but continued to work and to preach for love in God, period. His great love for people began hospitals, poorhouses, and orphanages that we can still see the results all these years later. He understood that you couldn't just haphazardly help people. The church needed to help people consistently. And therefore, he built monasteries in the hospitals, geriatric homes, and such. He was sick from his youth. The toiling of teaching and abstinence took a toll on him, and he passed away at the age of 49 years old. Now, the interesting thing about Basil, and you don't hear it too often, is we call him St. Basil the Great. Not too many individuals throughout history have been given that name. Of course, Alexander the Great, for the incredible conquests of the earth, of the worldly goods. But St. Basil was called great because he conquered the hearts and souls of men for Jesus Christ. His whole life was dedicated to Jesus and the message of Christianity. It was written of him that he had the humility of Moses, the zeal of Elijah, the piety of Peter, and the eloquence of St. John the theologian, along with the dedication of Paul. As we approach the great feast of St. Basil, let us ask the Lord to enlighten us that these same attributes might come to us, that we may go out and study, but not in the worldly sense, even though it's important, but to study in the spiritual sense, that we may too be enlightened, as was St. Basil the Great.
You've been listening to Special Moments in Orthodoxy with Father Spiro Bobotis. This has been a production of the Orthodox Christian Network.